You're listening to SBS News.
Recent reports of a rise in anti-Semitic attacks in Australia has coincided with a sharp increase in reports of Islamophobia following the October 7 attacks and the start of the intensified war in Gaza. The federal government established two special envoy roles to tackle these issues. Last month, SBS spoke with Special Envoy to Combat Anti-Semitism, Gillian Siegel, who called for a tougher response to crack down on anti-Semitism, including tighter restrictions on protests against the war in Gaza. Special Envoy to Combat Islamophobia, Afdab Malik, says Islamophobia has been normalised in Australia and is underreported in the media. He spoke to SBS reporter Alexandra Jones in his first extended interview since assuming the role.
In the conversations that you've had with Australian Muslims, what are they telling you about the prevalence of Islamophobia in this country?
My consultations revealed a landscape littered by Islamophobic brushes with humiliation and violence and hatred and discrimination. And the ordinariness of it was what was very surprising, the fact that Islamophobia is taking place in very normal circumstances, in normal surroundings, such as shopping malls, at the beaches, on the public transport, even in schools, even amongst neighbourhoods. Now, the surprise for me in discovering this landscape littered by Islamophobia was the number of people that are not reporting Islamophobic incidents, and that was a surprise to me.
Is that a sign of the normalisation, not just for non-Muslim Australians of Islamophobia, but within the Muslim community, that they have almost accepted it as a reality of living in this country?
I think you hit the nail on the head. What is extraordinary about Islamophobia is the ordinariness of it. It is occurring on a day-to-day basis. It occurs mainly with women who are often verbally assaulted and physically attacked. And so it is the normalization of Islamophobia that is the shocking truth about Islamophobia today.
Recent incidences that we've seen of Islamophobia include Islamophobic graffiti, women having hijabs pulled off in the street. These are just some of the symptoms of entrenched Islamophobia that we see, but what do you think might be the root causes?
I would probably put forward three key factors that are driving Islamophobia. Undoubtedly, 9/11 terror attacks sickened the world with the mindless killing of innocent civilians. And that really quickly followed on with Al-Qaeda and ISIL. It really contributed to a global revulsion of Islam. I mean, that is undeniable. As the second area really is concerning skewered media coverage of Islam. Not all media, some aspects of the media in which Islam, and particularly in our case, Australian Muslims, are consistently associated with extremism, radicalization, and terrorism. There was a report in 2017, for example, in New South Wales that reviewed a year's reporting of media coverage amongst five newspapers, and it revealed 3,000 articles had been written in that year describing Islam and Muslims with terrorism, extremism, and radicalization. And a third area, which is also important, was highlighted in 2021 by the Australian Human Rights Commission, and they found that what precedes Islamophobic incidents was anti-Muslim rhetoric and anti-Muslim media coverage. And what do I mean by that? I really mean when our leaders, again, not all, some of our leaders, wittingly or unwittingly, will conflate Islam with terrorism, will talk about the incompatibility of Australian Muslims and Islam with Western values, and really looking to ban clothing of Muslims. And so the idea is that people walk away with Islam's a real problem. I think politicians who may deny the seriousness of Islamophobia, I think I would love to have a conversation with them to understand what is it that they understand by Islamophobia and how they think it impacts society, or in their case, how it does not impact their society.
What has been your personal reaction to this wave of anti-Semitic attacks? Are you concerned that religious hate seems to be on the rise in this country?
I mean, it's shocking to find that these attacks are happening here in Australia. I mean, they're terrifying, let's be honest. They're terrifying, they're intimidatory, and they are simply done to instill fear and hate. And hate's an important point to talk about, because I really want to impress upon our community representatives and our leaders that we shouldn't enter into a landscape where we create a competition between hate. Mm-hmm. There is no worst hate. Hate is hate. And it's important to understand that both anti-Semitism and Islamophobia are repugnant. And importantly, that both the Muslim and the Jewish communities, they face common fear and anxiety. And you'll quickly find that that hate is underpinned by a demonization or dehumanizing idea that strips both Muslims and Jews from their humanity.
Do you agree with some concerns within the Muslim community that the reaction to these anti-Semitic attacks is stronger than those towards Islamophobic attacks?
The anti-Semitic attacks are very, very, they're very confronting. They elicit a visceral response, and quite rightfully so. With Islamophobia, amongst some segments of society, you'd be hard-pressed for them to realize that we're in a period facing the highest recorded levels of Islamophobia ever. Now, the problem is that because of the ordinariness of Islamophobia, it does not elicit a visceral response, such as the torching of synagogues and of cars. And so this is why I urge our community representatives and leaders not to fall into a game of competing in hate.
Speaking to SBS last month, your counterpart told SBS that the weekly pro-Palestinian protests were intimidatory and have morphed into attacking the Jewish community, and called for time and place restrictions on demonstrations so that they're not taking place in cities or where Jewish people might go. What's your response to that statement?
Sure. Well, attacking anyone is out of order, is uncalled for, and it needs to be clamped down. If indeed that is occurring, then I would be for any activity or action to clamp down on attacking individuals. If indeed these marches are legal, they are respectful, and they are abiding by the law, it would be perceived as retribution for being effective in what they are trying to do. Marches, by their definition, are disruptive. That's the idea. They try to disrupt the status quo. And so I would have to look at any sort of recommendations being put forward for any change of existing law.
Senator Dave Sharma also made some comments that upset members of the Muslim community, mentioning a fictitious Islamophobia being raised when instances of anti-Semitism were raised. You said that that comment was regrettable. Why?
Because I just spent 5 to 6 weeks speaking to Muslims across this country who had experienced, lived experience. We're not talking about online experience of Islamophobia. We're talking about physical ramifications of Islamophobia. And it's regrettable because my assumption would be that Senator Sharma did not intend to diminish that experience or those experiences, but how it was framed did just that. And that's why I said it was regrettable.
The ceasefire in Gaza, and assuming that holds up, do you sense that this may be a turning point in the experiences of Muslim Australians and also potentially in social cohesion in Australia?
Well, we know from evidence that global events can directly lead to Islamophobia. I mean, for example, what happened in Christchurch in 2019 resulted in a fourfold increase in Islamophobia here in Australia that was committed by an individual who was born and raised in Australia. And so everyone that I have spoken to, given the backdrop of death that's taking place in Gaza, for example, the world leading medical journal, The Lancet, has recently said that the death toll is somewhere between 55 to 78,000 people. That on the backdrop of that, people are praying for peace, and people that I've spoken to are praying that that ceasefire holds for obvious reasons, to stop death and destruction, but also blowback that occurs here on the streets in Australia that we've seen. That's horrific for both the Jewish community and the Muslim community.
Aftab Malik, thank you so much for joining us.
Alexandra, thank you very much for having me.